This week on Jonah Radio, we talk about the best actor bands. We take your suggestions. We do music news. And Cash kind of gets the game wrong. Songs this week include Danger Friends, Mark Kozik and Petra Hayden, All Girls Arson Club, and Ottaboki Beaver, as well as Cheap Girls with a tribute to Ruby. All this week on Jonah Radio.
Nailed it!
First of all, fuck you.
Put your knife away!
Put your knife away!
You must chill!
That's actually hilarious.
Hey. Thanks for tuning in to another fine episode of the Jonah Radio.
It's fine.
It's a fine podcast.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. The fine has been turned up. The structure has been turned down. Mm-hmm. The contrast is in the middle. But it is warm.
Hold on. Hold on. V hold. I'm flipping.
Yeah, we got it.
I'm flipping. All right, I'm good.
And so this is Jonah Radio with Cash Hartzell.
Hi, everybody.
Featuring Neil.
Featuring me.
Thanks for tuning in. Dio again can't make it because he's off giving my dog some tummy rubs.
Buddy.
And so we are here in sunny Southern California, and tonight there is another Bikini Kill show at the Pantages Theater.
Really?
They're doing four nights.
How does that work? How are they? Because it was at the
two
Palladium?
Nights at the Greek.
Two nights?
The Fonda?
Well, what did I say?
Pantages.
You said
Pantages. Shit. Pantages. Sorry. Palladium.
Palladium, which is right next to the Pantages.
Yeah. And they got the P's.
But
the A's.
But they
it'd be
didn't
funny
do.
They did do the Pantages though with like
just a little
full,
sit
like,
down.
Like a kick line and like
yeah.
Some moving sets.
Rebel girl.
Exactly what that fan base needed is us riffing on how to musicalize it.
I went to the Bikini Kill show last week.
How was it?
It was great. You know what was the best part? Bikini Kill was great. Mm-hmm. But Alice Bag, like legendary old LA punk Alice Bag, played. She's in the first like decline of the Western Civilization.
Okay, yeah.
But she, man, oh man, was that like an incredible set?
Yeah,
really fun, really amazing. We have, of course, ran into John Ross Bowie.
Is he writing a play about Bikini Kill?
Yes, probably. Yeah. But they're playing tonight, so that was kind of neat.
Yeah, that's amazing. I am not a huge Bikini Kill fan. I was a much more fan of the later band,
Le Tigre. Oh shit.
That's all right. I meant Le Tigre, so we didn't.
Yeah, but then there's the other one. Oh god damn it.
People are screaming at their radios.
Well, you don't look up. You look upset about this.
I am, because I was listening to it a couple weeks ago. Oh. Julie Ruin. The Julie Ruin.
There it is.
But it must have been exciting. I know about the show because last week our friend of the podcast, Ben Getting, was apparently got double sold tickets to the Bikini Kill show.
Yeah, Ben Getting. So I, day of, like I just on a whim,
uh-huh,
grabbed tickets because they all sold out. And because like it was like a hot show.
Yeah.
And they put the first one on sale and it sold out immediately.
Yeah.
And then this is the same thing that happened with the Jawbreaker shows at the Palladium, mm-hmm, where they added like three more shows.
Yeah.
And then people ended up being able to buy tickets for Jawbreaker. It was like some people were buying tickets for $5. And this happened again where the scalpers got fucked, where they bought up all the tickets and then couldn't get rid of them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, like so that. I got in for $12 and I was talking to Susan Burke,
uh-huh,
who like her friend flew out for the show. And they spent upwards to over $200.
Jesus.
Because they didn't think there was going to be more.
Yeah.
It's kind of perfect that like a punk rock show comes to town and they sell it exactly one show. That's the size of the audience.
Yes.
But because of all the machinations of touring and expected audience
they add four more shows, and it's like, no, you just needed the one show. Everybody yeah. could have fit into that, but because scalpers came in and everything, it all gets fucked up.
Yeah, but they still sold out because the tickets still get sold. And then there's a ton of people that might have been on the fence.
Yeah,
that just go, I don't know, $10 to go see Bikini Kill. I'm fucking in.
Yeah,
yeah. You saw them at the outdoor place, though, right?
No.
You didn't?
It was at the Palladium.
One right on Sunset there? Right across from the Nickelodeon stages. I know where the Palladium is.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you the Nickelodeon. You've been to the Nickelodeon stages.
The photos that I saw reminded me of, what is it, the Greek? What's the one up there?
There's the Greek and there's the Hollywood Bowl.
They're both
the Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They played the Palladium.
Okay.
There's a lot of Greeks.
You know the one near the Pantages?
Oh, boy.
We had a whole conversation about how it was at the Palladium.
I know. Yeah, I thought maybe they changed venues.
Oh. Guys, if you're listening to this, pull up a map of Hollywood.
These are all in spitting distance from each other.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. If you do get a chance to go see Bikini Kill on one of their shows, I'm sure they're going to keep on adding stuff. Go and see them. It's a lot of fun. It was a good show. And so we're going to take a break with a song, and we're going to get back. We're going to get some music news. This is a song from a band we've played here and there since the beginning of this, a band called Danger Friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're from the Valley, I think. And this is Back to No Future. Back to No Future by Danger. There it is. Neil, you did it. You son of a bitch.
Boy. There's a sudden spring
the studio
squall.
Audience woke up. How fucking long is this?
guys.
You fade out so many other things way too early, and yet this.
We need to start feeding the studio audience. Yeah. Like, they are so skinny.
You just love seeing Cash ride those those levels.
Yep.
I like making work for others.
Socially, mainly.
I love your LinkedIn heading.
Yeah.
I'm a job creator.
if you're just tuning in, this is Jonah Radio. This is Cash right over here. Casual Neil over here, like he's taking a picture, like promoting his shoes and watch and how they match. But
wow.
Yeah, but it is that time of the show where we delve into the world of news that involves music in a segment we call cleverly Cash. What's it called?
Music News.
Yes. Muzak News, where we talk about sounds that sound like songs.
Is that the definition of Muzak? Mm-hmm. It sounds like that
sounds
would be a good
like
definition of
songs.
Muzak.
All right, guys. In the weird category.
Oh boy.
Jaden Smith.
Oh, strap on your tinfoil helmet.
That's he of the Batman single.
Of the Batman, Jaden Smith of the Batman single. And of course, Jada Pinkett Smith's and Will Smith's child.
Mm-hmm.
Very musical family.
Very much. She was in a metal band.
Yeah,
she was
Wicked Wisdom.
Wicked Wisdom was the name of it.
Yeah.
And she was also in Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight, which she was great in.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the rest of the family.
Yep.
With my hair back and forth.
Yes, that was a thing that his sister did.
Yes, and then, of course, Will Smith from...
The Willennium.
The
current thousand years that we're living in? The Willennium?
Yes.
Yeah. He declared it. He was smart.
Cash, don't let your lip react. You don't want to see my hand where my hip be at. Neil, turn the music down.
Last week you got mad because I didn't play it.
We're doing the same thing every week.
I'm just trying to take notes.
his head's up on his elbow.
Jaden Smith is going to play in a Showtime show called Omniverse. He's going to play Kanye West.
What?
Kanye West, the prophet, is developing a Showtime anthology in which Jaden Smith would play a young Kanye West in an alternate reality.
First of all, the Omniverse is the universe where all the characters represented by Bruce Smith hang out. Jimmy Pardo, Andy Kindler, Maria Bamford.
Omniverse. Oh my God.
Yeah,
Cash.
No, it's really inside and you guys were not paying attention. Congratulations to the one person who may know that
first I thought you were talking about comic book stuff that I didn't know about, and then like it's like when you start saying like Jimmy Pardo, I was like, oh, this is probably some like never not funny thing. Nope. I don't listen to podcasts.
It was just a reference to the talent manager Bruce Smith and his organization Omnipop.
Yes. Okay. Cut all of that out.
Okay.
Cash.
Yep.
Call Ant-Man because you're too far inside the baseball now.
Avengers have given us so many new put downs.
I loved the Avengers Endgame. I also love the medieval version that happened on Game of Thrones a few days later.
It was really a bummer weekend. I think a lot of people this week are carrying a lot of anger that they're not comfortable with.
Yeah, well, they should take it out on Judge Barr. Anyway, this is the most
general.
Every time Kanye West, you think that like maybe he
has reached
his most Kanye-ness.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does it again and more.
Yeah.
And that was another thing. Like,
this is him putting his head so far up his ass it's coming out his dick.
Yeah, exactly. Someone call Ant-Man because Kanye... But like, I heard, I read another thing. I didn't pull it up, but I guess like he did the Sunday service at Coachella.
Yeah.
I guess it was an extra ticket, or was it like it was a VIP event within Coachella?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's exactly
the people that were invited were like influencers, and and that's on top of the fucking $50 terrible shirts that he was selling on top of that.
Was it like his fashion line shirts, or was it like
it was like religious themed or a Christian themed weird knickknack
and socks.
Motherfucker
and stuff like
can't
that.
Even find Jesus right. I don't know what's going on.
Here's the thing: it's he makes great music.
He does.
Made.
I mean, I never really catch. I like when I hear something, I'm like, yeah, that's really good. But I don't. It's like I'm hoping that something comes up where it's like, because it's like, because he's not bad enough to where we can, you know, cancel.
You can't
I want something to be, I want yeah. something, I want Kanye to do something that cancels Kanye.
MAGA hats weren't bad.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people I know, that was it. And well, but like, you know, when I saw that, I was just like, I don't know, I get it.
Saw
he loves celebrity.
In the wild today.
What?
I saw a MAGA hat in the wild.
Oh, really? Oh,
really? Where?
Car to car.
Oh.
They were in a car.
What kind of car were they in? Were there bumper stickers?
It was like an SUV with handicap plates.
Yeah. Well, they're not being looked after, so.
Both of the guys in the car seemed like they were healthy.
You didn't see their legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
it was a clear
seat.
Car?
No, the guy in the passenger seat had his foot up on the dashboard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because of the swelling. He has Cash's disease.
Hey, that's gone down.
Yes, I know.
It was the salt, yes, on the banana. I should not have been salting them. Makes the gout flare up.
Oh, so you know Pete Doherty from the band the Libertines.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking the Who, but that's not the same
Pete,
guy.
Pete Doherty. So Pete Doherty has been hospitalized with an infected stab wound.
Oh, Jesus.
From a now get this. If you were to know about Pete Doherty and the Libertines, or even that album cover, kind of that first album cover was like, you know, it was two people kind of heads down, one arm out, and you're like, they're drug people.
Mm-hmm. Just the idea of Libertines is very.
Yes. And so he has an infected stab wound from, you would think, a syringe.
Yeah.
But what he's saying, it was a hedgehog. And this is on the heels of the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer coming out for the movie Sonic the Hedgehog, which uses Gangster's Paradise. But anyway, it was reported that he was walking his two huskies when one caught a hedgehog and one of its spines became lodged in the former Libertine's hand when he attempted to retrieve the animal. He posted pictures of himself in the hospital with a bandage over his hand. And he keeps on saying it was a hedgehog spike wound.
Well, it's kind of it may be the boy who cried wolf actually hit a wolf at some point. like that's got to be the worst feeling, where it's like, no, I'm clean and sober. I've been clean and sober for years, and then you show up like the one fucking animal that could blow a hole on that shows up.
Million in one shot, Doc.
Oh man,
million in one shot.
He's that animal was the Jedi of the Luke Skywalker. You guys know my favorite movie. Have I told you about Ice Pirates? Sorry.
Ice Pirates.
That's a good movie.
Speaking of someone who probably believes in actual ice pirates.
Uh-huh.
Angels and Airwaves, Tom DeLonge's other band, is releasing a single. Or an album.
Oh, whole album.
Whole album. Because I guess maybe looking for UFOs, not a full-time gig.
No. Well,
yeah, you could use some underwriting there.
Yeah, exactly.
Or to be fair, like half of the time is in the day. You're not going to use that time to look for UFOs. Maybe supplying for UFO journeys, but you're never going
to. That's like a once a week trip to Costco.
There was like a song on like one of those early Blink-182s. It's like, I think it's called I Believe in UFOs, and it seems so tongue-in-cheek and fun. You know, it's like Mark Hoppus didn't want to fuck your mom.
He did. Well, he certainly didn't dedicate years after to fucking my mom.
Or he didn't get really obsessed with M&Ms.
No, not at all.
But Tom DeLonge took a break from hunting UFOs to record a song called an album called Rebel Girl.
Wait, is he writing a musical sequel to that Green Day musical thing from a couple of weeks ago?
Rebel Girl, not to be confused with the classic Bikini Kill song of the same title. Angels and Airwaves' first new music in 3 years following their EP Chasing Shadows is going to be called Rebel Girl. It seems kind of weird.
Is it like Riot Girl with a bunch of R's?
No, it's regular. G-R-G-I-R-L. Rebel Girl is a space age love song that combines my enduring obsession. This is Tom DeLonge. So let me start from the top.
Okay.
Rebel Girl is a space age love song that combines my enduring obsession for new wave pop punk anthematic rock and roll music, DeLonge said in a statement. As some of you might have heard, I recently took a brief minute to start up an aerospace company, so you never know. I may play this song from a satellite deep in space, beam towards Everyone House viciously on repeat.
That's I don't think you'd sell a lot
then. You know, for me
it's just free then.
Yeah. You're just beaming it.
Yeah, why would anybody download
it? But it's gonna be a proprietary receiver. That's gonna be the that's the trick. He's gonna start his own what's it called? What was the Dr. Young Dre? Thing?
Oh, okay.
It's Tidal.
Tidal.
That was
Joseph Z.
Oh, Jay Z. That's right.
Oh, Joseph. Jay.
Yeah. You know what? Feels weird. Just like the Green Day thing. Three white dudes telling the story of a rebel girl. But yeah.
When are we gonna get female rebel girls?
Hey.
Already had it.
Actually, I have been listening to that Lizzo album for the last week. And
man, that Lizzo album is great, isn't it?
We got our own rebel girl. She's from Minneapolis.
She's so funny and got pipes and is a great lyricist.
Yeah.
And fucking her, like the way she sings, her phrasing is out of control. She can rap and she can fucking sing.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, it is.
Neil, have you listened yet?
No.
I think you would really like it. It does seem up your alley as far as pop music goes.
She's on the television show that I work on.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was that a... She impressed
Couldn't afford to pay her to sing a song, though.
That E hotspot.
That's right. All of E Entertainment works off of a hotspot on a Kardashian's phone.
Yeah.
You got to wait for them to show up at the coffee bean across the street.
Speaking of, we were talking about Game of Thrones earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Jokes about the whole it being dark thing, but something you might have not noticed was that country music star Chris Stapleton and his band were in the episode. They've been doing this a lot, I think, the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Where big super fans like were able to kind of like ask if they could be in it. Ed Sheeran did it. Mastodon did it.
Nice.
Sigur Rós.
Nice.
Tax Evaders, Sigur Rós.
Sigur Rós did, they did like a custom song for it, or they did the arrangement for a song for him a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I think that was Payback.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But like Chris Stapleton and I guess his band, so it's, his whole thing, he was saying, I was like, you know, I will gladly fly to wherever in the world just to be a small part and get to watch that show going down. He said, they were gracious enough to let me come participate that way. They knew we weren't actors. And I imagine he's doing like quotes. And I've never heard this dude talk, so I'm just going as offensive as I can towards the southern part of our
he's Nigeria's,
United States.
He's Nigeria's first country singer, but go ahead.
They knew we weren't quote unquote actors. So the direction was basically, and here's some spoils coming up. So the direction basically was, we're going to place you, and when we tell you, open your eyes. And they trained us on how White Walkers are supposed to stand up and move when they're first waking up. We had a crash course in that. But yeah, so.
Golly.
Can you imagine? Me in Winterfell. Which is, if in the world of a Westeros, the North is the South.
I love the idea of yodeling and it's Westeros. God, we need some Southern.
Yeah.
Some Southern characters. All the Southerners in Game of Thrones were all like sexy sand snakes.
What about
the people missing teeth? Huh? Let's get them some representation.
But of course, you know, we also heard a classic country song while those White Walkers were waking up, which was...
I'm gonna take your dick, put it in my hole. I'm gonna ride till I can't
go. Oh, man.
I'm gonna
you
take
just see them slowly coming out of the dark? Oh, that's...
Ride till I can't
and, like, Littlefinger finally shows back up. Neil, that was a great joke.
I don't watch the program.
Nope.
You don't watch the program.
Oh, I fucked up.
Ooh, cultural zeitgeist I'm missing out on.
Yeah, I don't go.
It'll be the last time this happens, Neil, so you don't really have to worry about it.
Yeah, we'll catch up.
Last time what happens.
But moving on away from that, known shithead
oh.
in music.
Known shithead in music.
Okay, so if I'm
don't
say
make
like,
me guess.
Oh, no, go for it. Here's someone that...
James Taylor.
No. Like, it's like, think of, like, new music. Someone who's been, like, called out and shown for how much of a piece of shit he is.
Bing Crosby.
But people still work with him.
Oh.
And people still listen to him.
Oh,
and
R. Kelly.
Him.
Michael Jackson?
I think of more recent Cash.
More recent than R. Kelly.
He hits women.
Chris Brown.
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but recently DJ Marshmello, one of them helmeted masked.
Yeah.
He's got billboards all over town.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's not great now, but like I've heard his music and I dig it. But so Marshmello collaborated with Tyga and Chris Brown mm-hmm. on a recent single called Light It Up. And the thing is, like, Marshmello has also done stuff with Churches, Tvirtjes.
Oh yeah, with
yes,
the V,
the
yeah.
Scottish group Tvirtjes. And I met the girl from Tvirtjes, and she's very sweet. Oh. I think she dates Justin Long.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But you know, Tvirtjes
from the Apple commercials.
Yes, from the Apple. From Drag Me to Hell, Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell.
Die Hard 4.
Yes. And so,
Herbie the Love Bug with Lindsay Lohan.
Was he in that?
Yeah.
All right.
Slightly older love interest.
Yes.
But like they didn't like ever.
Oh, okay. So it was like Leon the Professional, a movie that I finally just saw for the first time.
Did you really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Oh, no, man, it wasn't like 20 movie. Years apart. They were. Like,
I know. I was just trying to.
He's just taking his lap.
But Marshmello. DJ Marshmello and Tvirtjes, mm-hmm. You know, they collaborated, and then Marshmello goes and does something with Chris Brown, and so you know, Tvirtjes say in an Instagram post, really upset, confused, and disappointed. We like and respect Mello as a person, but they're unable to stand behind him and his decision to work with these artists. And then Chris Brown responds to that.
Oh no.
All caps. Oh. Now this could be either Chris Brown or the president of the United States of America, but he starts it out all caps, bunch of losers.
Okay, yeah. No, that's
period.
That's an either or.
And then he goes on to say, "These are the type of people I wish walked in front of a speeding bus full of mental patients." Now, he says patients
like the tenant.
Like the tenant yeah. of I have no patience for yeah, yeah. Chris Brown defenders.
Mental patience.
Keep groveling over
First
your
of all, fuck you.
Exactly. Keep groveling over your own insecurities and hatred. He wrote on Instagram, I'm black and proud, and I know it's hurts Ooh. That you guys are struggling with life or peace, so you are forced to see my success. Then he no more caps.
Oh, okay.
You aren't even number two. Remember, and then he goes in parentheses, remember, second place only means you lost first. Ta-ta, good day, peasants.
That's disappointing. You don't call a band with a V for a U peasants. Like, I feel like that's not cool.
Yeah.
What a dick.
What a bunch of boring people.
Yeah. Really shitty. And, like, and Tvirtjes did the right thing by, like, kind of being like, it's like, hey, that's not cool. It's, yeah. you know, we shouldn't work with the people that have done this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's not even hearsay. It's not like, it's like, oh, you can't, it's like, you know, there's circumstantial evidence that he beat the shit out of Rihanna.
Yeah.
Well, it was more than circumstantial.
Maybe I'm getting the words
that's,
wrong.
That's a minimizing term.
There is
evidence.
There is evidence.
Yeah. yeah.
Yes. So didn't I say it's not circumstantial?
Circumstantial would be more like everybody saw her leave with him, and then
she came back beat up.
She came back beat up. Like it's more.
Oh,
like,
it's just like this is it's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to get my law terms all ready to go.
Look, this this podcast world is expanding. Yeah.
But I don't want to.
When's your trial date, counselor? You're well underprepared.
I there's no counselor evidence to state that I once didn't not. I don't want to end the music.
I tell you what. You should come over and watch Law & Order SVU with my fiance. And I think everything will be evened out after about 4 or 5 episodes.
Here's some music news in the world of music journalism podcasting. Cash Hartzell is now an engaged man.
Oh my God, I was very busy 2 weeks ago, folks. This is why you did not get a podcast, as I was biting my nails and I could not hit record. These guys were here. We had a long conversation for about an hour and a half, but I was so nervous that we did not record a podcast. But she did say yes.
She said yes. Yeah.
Good run, Randy.
I'm gonna urge you to Cash to not use the word fiance.
Yeah, I don't like the word fiance.
Yeah.
I tried
ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend was pretty good. I used to use future wife because it sounds, you know, science fiction.
I was going with pre-wife, but I was told that that did not fly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Something about minimizing. I don't know.
What that does is say, you are before my wife. You are not necessarily going to be that wife.
Yeah.
Because pre-wife is the wife that comes out before.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on. This is my marriage. Stop injecting here.
I'll tell you this from firsthand experience. Being married doesn't make an adult. And I mean, it made me an adult. I'm just talking to Neil's experience.
Hey, now, you're an all-star.
Who is that? I don't even remember that.
Ben Gibbard.
God. All right, but like in celebration of your impending marriage,
nuptials? Yes,
impending nuptials to a great girl.
Yes.
I want to play. Recently, Mark Kozelek and Petra Hayden from the Hayden Sisters, That Dog and all that stuff. Mark Kozelek from Sun Kill Moon, Red House Painters, one of the most depressed men in alternative rock.
Mm-hmm. That was Guinness. Guinness really weighed in on that.
Yeah, they really did. They recently did a cover, and it's also, we love covers here at Jonah Radio.
Yeah.
And this is a very nice, sweet cover, acoustically and sing-songy, in celebration of Cash and his fiance.
She is my fiance.
Here is Mark Kozelek and Petra Hayden doing Huey Lewis and the Newses. Huey Lewis and the Newsies, Power of Love.
The power of love is a curious thing. Makes one man win. Makes another man sing. Changes a heart to a little white dove. It's more than a feeling. It's the power of love. Tougher than diamonds and whips like cream. Stronger and harder than a bad girl's dream. Makes a bad one good, makes a wrong one right. It's the power of love, it'll keep you home at night. I don't need money and don't take fame. I don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's strong, it's sudden. It's cool sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of love. That's the power of love. That's the power of love. That's the power of love.
First time you feel it, it might make you sad. Next time you feel it, it might make you mad. But you'll be glad, baby, when you find
that it's the power of love that could make the world go round. I don't need money and don't take fame. I don't need no credit card
to ride this train.
You do need two valid forms of ID, though.
Yeah, no, the TSA doesn't fuck around on trains.
Yeah. They don't. They don't.
Need one set of ID to get on, mm-hmm. and then a different one to get into the bar.
I use my passport, so I don't have to carry my Social Security card around.
Fellas, mm-hmm. we could talk about transportation all day.
Oh, often
we're
do.
We're going to save it for Jonah Rail.
Rio Do.
Wow, we almost had a thing, and then...
Did we once talk about Jonah Rodeo and then we were all going to go to a rodeo?
Oh,
that's
I don't
a good
remember
idea.
That was on the air.
You know, I ran into Eric Edelstein, who listeners might remember from our field trip to see the Dead and Company.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, I gave him a Jonah Rodeo button. Mm. And he's, and of course, like, you know, his reaction was like, he's like, oh, Lord, this is so sweet. What a great gift.
God yeah. damn it, that guy is. I never knew Magnanimous could just. Describe a person so well.
He's it was at a party and seeing him, like, he's that to everybody. He truly is that, like, that charming actor guy. And, like, and the thing is, it's like he's a great, for those who've seen The Green Room, he's the guy that gets his belly split.
Yes.
In The Green Room. And he's great. And he's, you know, he's been around a long time in the comedy scene. He's the sweetest guy, mm-hmm. almost kind of like Derek Mears, where it's just like the nicest guy, but he's like a big guy.
Yeah. Yep.
But, like, he that old timey actor. Like the charming actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
The old that guy that's like, you know, the character actor. It's like, you know, you see him around town. He's been in movies. He's been in all kinds of stuff. It's like, that's the way, when I see him, I'm just like, man, he charms everybody.
Yeah.
That I knew a guy that from Chicago. He was a bartender at Tom Bergen's, a guy named Michael O'Dwyer. His son is actually a comic book artist named Kieran Dwyer. But he was the same way. He was a character actor in Chicago for a long time. Was in a De Palma movie and then moved out here and got a bunch of character roles, but was...
That was Chicago's major export for a long time.
Was character
alcoholism actors. And then character actors.
And the greatest thing was working with him at the bar because all of his old actor buddies knew that he worked there. So you'd wander in and it'd just be... It would be some random guy that you'd seen in a thousand things. I wish I could pull a name. I was just thinking about it the other night. But I'm not going to, so we can just cut the... God damn it.
All right. Well, it is time to get into the theme.
Oh, yeah.
Theme of this week's episode. Speaking of actors, speaking of entertainment people, we started to think about, because last week we were talking about Dogstar, Keanu Reeves' band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we listened to it and we're like, that's so bad.
Yeah, no. For the time, it was great.
Yeah. And so we, the three of us, the mm-hmm. Radio Three, decided to pick our favorite, our favorite bands of people who were established actors. This is how I pitched it:
mm-hmm.
established actors, people you knew who were actors, and then started a music career.
Yes,
that's how I posited. So I'll start. For example,
mm-hmm.
When I heard that Zooey Deschanel was doing an album with M. Ward.
She and him.
I was like, I don't know if this is going to be any good. I mean, I like the sound of her voice in Elf, mm-hmm. when she's singing the song with, you know.
It really is a beautiful
rendition.
Warbly, like Billie Holiday kind of
thing. Yeah.
Her.
But like, then when the album came out,
like what?
Like, just out the gate, I was like, "Oh, that's kind of nice," and the lyrics are really sweet and sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in the middle of like having a terrible relationship with Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
It came out when we were living downtown, and I was just like not good. And I was sitting in my car listening to this record, being like, "Zooey Deschanel's pretty great, pretty great at this stuff," and I'm miserable. Maybe I should break up with my girlfriend
and start to date Zooey Deschanel.
Our friend Ben Getting, who we mentioned before, had like a little bit of a talk with her once on a balcony. He said they were flirting with each other, but nothing ever came of it, I'm sure. But I think
you blew it, Benji. What are you doing?
But yeah, she and him, I think, like,
she
exceeded expectations.
No,
she and Ben.
No.
Sounds like
she
they
and
underperformed.
She and him.
Yeah, she and Ben.
And,
yeah, but
I see that, and it she. I mean, she had a beautiful voice. Which is, I think...
it worked. And then, like, the collaboration, because it's like, you know, she had some, like, rudimentary stuff that she'd written. M. Ward, like, filled it out. And they, it was, like, it was a great combo. But this, so that, for me, you know, outside of... I mean, like, one of the obvious ones is Rilo Kiley, of course.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I don't
Jenny
think
Lewis.
That counts. That's child acting.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of, like, she kind of had stopped acting for a while and then started doing music. But yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. So that's my first pick.
All right.
She and Him, Sentimental Heart. That's a great song. Cash, what's yours?
My first pick, and actually, if you want to go, go to like 152.
Yeah, Cash.
It was a guy that I knew from. Hey, that's. I didn't pick this. That guy was not an actor. Was a guy everybody, I think, got to know through internet stuff. And then became an actor on Community and stuff like that.
Well, he'd been doing sketch comedy.
You got Derek Comedy, and he was a writer on
One of my favorite
Rock.
Sketches of all time, Jerry Shits His Pants. It's a great fucking sketch.
Who's
But
Jerry?
That guy we're talking about is Donald Glover.
Donald Glover, otherwise known as Childish Gambino. And I knew of him a certain amount. I knew that he had a rap career. I knew that he had chosen his name from a Wu-Tang Clan generator thing. Name generator is how he came up with Childish Gambino. But then he put out this album.
This is his third album.
His third album. I think there's some EPs in it.
There was other ones were like the samples he was using. So they were kind of mixtape albums.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was Army, which was, I think, his first, like, Cul-de-sac. No, this is Cul-de-sac, right?
No, this is...
This is Awaken My Love. Cul-de-sac was before this, and that was the more hip-hop. This was when he, like, went into, like, what he started calling black rock.
Well, this is... I encountered this album at exactly the right time in that I was really into Parliament at this point, or Funkadelic, and this album is...
But not Parliament Funkadelic.
Well, it gets a little... But even like the look of this album, the cover of this album, it looks like a Funkadelic album.
It looks like
Maggot Brown.
Like, it looks like a black light poster album cover.
Even in this, like, there's this long transition that we kind of skipped. But like when the
you asked me to skip
no, because this part sounds like a funk song, so much so that there's a dude with a bass microphone laughing, like the evil laugh. It's such a funk album that I did not see coming and blew me away.
That's really cool. So
and then you see what he's done with This Is America and stuff like that, and he's like actually taken a step into being like, I'm an artist, which is so weird coming from a comedian in that, like, when you're a comic, you have to take stuff and make fun of it. You always have to go to the sort of the lighter side of it, and this is like heavy shit, especially This Is America stuff like that is like, it's amazing that he can contain both the funny person and the.
I think This Is America was, I think, more in line with his comedy background than a lot of other stuff he had done because it was commentary.
Yes, yeah. I do think you're right.
But yeah, Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, great actor that went on to have a great music career. All right, Neil, what's your pick?
Before I go, did you guys take any blind swings when you were looking this up? Like, think of an actor and then just like try to
see if
out.
They
see if they
had a band, because like, oh boy, wouldn't that be terrible?
No, but you know what, the when the listeners weighed in, it was like, really, that guy did it? Or
we'll get,
like,
we'll get to there soon. So
because I looked up Tim Allen Blues Band. Is there any more of a fucking layup than
Tim Allen
plays White Man Blues somewhere?
And no, didn't happen.
No, there was a million results, but it was some other band.
Some other cocaine dealer.
Some other cocaine dealer from
some other rat.
Waco, Texas, named Tim Allen. But so I swung out on that. I just came up with the first three I could think of. The first one being Ringside.
What is Ringside?
Ringside is a two-man San Fernando Valley rock and roll outfit featuring Balthazar Getty.
What?
From Lord of the Flies.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
When is this from?
Yeah.
Like...
But the Sargetti time,
like,
obviously.
Early
but like,
2000s.
Okay.
They were on that music show that I worked on.
CDUSA?
Yeah.
Sedusa?
Yeah, Sedusa. And the day that they played, I don't remember if the guy Scott or Baltazar Getty, one of them was dating Kirsten Dunst at the time.
Oh.
And so she came to see them play, like in front of the crowd on the show. And, you know, she wasn't on the list or anything. She just went up to the security guard. And I was on a, like a separate walkie-talkie channel with the security guards. And it just went like, Spider-Man girlfriend here?
yeah. Spider-Man girlfriend here.
That's not so bad.
No. All right. So
yeah, it's named after a liquor store on like right off of Ventura.
And is Baltazar Getty, I never thought about this. Is he a Getty?
Yeah, he's a Getty.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow. Why do anything?
Yeah. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
All right. So my next pick was, and this isn't like, he's not like a songwriter. He was a bass player on this, but it was when Michael Cera and our friends Ryan and
Nick Thorburn.
And Nick Thorburn. Ryan Kattner from Honus Honus and Man Man, Nick Thornburg from Islands and Unicorns, and then there's like a little super duo together, and then for their bass player, they got Michael Cera.
Yep.
And they did Mr. Heavenly together.
He's got another band now.
Oh, does he now?
Yeah, and he didn't come back for the Mr.
Heavenly. He didn't come back, but I remember seeing, at being at
Brent
South by
from
Southwest.
Brent Earwolf replaced him.
Remember South by Southwest, I got to see him play, and it was just a bunch of, it's like, he's just playing the bass off to the side, and, you know, Ryan is on keyboards, and Nick is on guitar, and they're singing back and forth and playing, but everyone's looking at Michael Cera. But this is from the Mr. Heavenly album, Out of Love. This is song Bronx Sniper.
Mm-hmm. Which,
yeah, that's Michael Cera, actor that got into, you know, music.
Little behind the scenes on this song, almost was the song for the trailer of Hateful Eight. When I was living with Ryan,
way.
They called him up and were like, yeah, Quentin's got it down to two songs for this trailer, and one of them is Bronx Sniper.
Hmm.
And then they went with something else. But,
oh, boy.
But Quentin loves it.
Quentin loves it. All right, so, Cash, what's your next one?
My next one is, it comes from, this was sort of a roundabout way because I was a little worried about we all choosing the same one. This is the Commitments soundtrack.
So how does this play into what we're talking about here?
This was sort of...
I said actors that would go on to make music.
Well, lot of these people did go on to make music. It wasn't particularly good music.
So The Commitments, though, is a movie about a band.
It was a movie based on a book, actually.
Yeah, in Ireland.
In Ireland.
When they want to play soul music in Ireland.
They want to play soul music in Ireland.
Yeah, the true Irish soul music or whatever, right? It's like,
yeah, there was a lot of sort of combining the idea of like the downtrodden Irish with the downtrodden African Americans of the 60s and 70s that produced the music.
Yeah, and like a lot of the UK was obsessed with this era of music. Like when you read Nick Hornby's High Fidelity,
yeah,
they're not obsessed with like punk. They're obsessed with soul.
Yes,
soul
and R&B. And this was a story about basically they put together a band to play around. And I believe the.
So when I ask about actors being in bands, like
name one
about.
Of these actors.
Shit. I looked up one last night.
Oh. After you picked it.
They're literally... Well, so you asked for... Did you...
Are you? It's in tune.
Yeah, it is
yeah,
in
it
tune.
Is. Yeah, this,
that might be where they got the air horn from.
Do it
again. No, you got to wait for the horns. Bro.
Yeah.
Ready?
Maybe on that organ.
Yeah.
No, well, it's
all right.
Change key.
But they literally took actors and made them a band, and then from this, all of the actors tried to get in bands and tour, and none of it really worked out.
Yeah. But this isn't what we talked about.
Yeah, I got it wrong.
It's okay, Cash. I mean, The Commitments is a fun movie.
It's a fun movie, and it was very, for me, it was very invigorating.
Yes, but does not count in this lineup. Okay, Neil, what's your next one?
I don't know how the points are calculated, but I know Cash is losing.
I got
you know what, Neil? There are no points, but I can assure you, Cash is losing.
Hey, I got a nice lady to say yes to me that last week, so I'm doing all right.
That sounded so sad.
Yeah, it did. She is nice, though.
She's great. I love her. She's a dick in the best way.
Yep. She will call shit on
yes,
people.
Exactly what you
Neil,
need.
Neil, what'd you pick for number two?
Number two, also from that terrible music show I worked on.
Neil hasn't listened to a new band since Oxes.
Oh,
that was like 6 months after he finished on that show. True.
No, Oxes, their albums came out before then. That was like
2002, I think.
Yeah, that was like M-Bar days.
Yeah. Anyway, so what's this one?
This one is Jamie Kennedy featuring Stu the Jew and Paul Wall.
Oh, man.
Wow, baby. Switch the house.
When Jamie Kennedy thought he was going to be a rapper.
Jamie Kennedy pursued this for a long time.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
I already know.
Right?
No, well after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm the mattress man.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah.
Well, but the,
so Paul Wall was like a Houston rapper, like in that like scissor kind of like Chopped and Screwed era.
Yeah.
And he was a jeweler who made grills.
Oh.
Wow.
And then he just became a rapper. You'll notice this is not comedy rap.
You know what? I'm not even going to fade this out, Neil.
Wasn't Jake involved in that somehow?
We both worked on that reality show that was like him and Stu trying to get a record deal.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, not good. Yeah. I've never met the dude. Seems nice, and he's so great in Scream.
Yeah.
Isn't he? Like, isn't he so good in Scream?
He is.
He's responsible for the name of my company.
Wait, Show Friends? Is he the one that said that to you?
No, he said it. Hardwick heard him say it to his agent in a coffee bean.
Oh, Jesus.
The coffee bean is right around the corner from his house.
I worked on a documentary for like 3 weeks about him called Heckler, which was a great idea for a documentary.
Man, that like was a great doc, except for like him, like
the fact that it was about him at the core.
Yeah.
Yeah. The half of the documentary that was getting like doing the subject and like getting stories from other comics was fantastic.
Him when he was doing like the blowjob thing in front of the person, and the guy's like being very thoughtful. He's like, "Hey, I'm sorry that I wrote the thing, but I just don't find that funny. Yeah. I'm sorry." Like it's like he was,
yeah,
you know, put into a position of just, you know,
it not- was. And I left that after watching literally a week's worth of Jamie Kennedy doing errands. And the guy was like, "Hey, I shot all this stuff. Pull out the funny stuff." And he came in at the end of the week and I showed him Jamie Kennedy trying to answer his phone while in the dentist chair. Because I found it hilarious and I found nothing else hilarious. And he's like, "Maybe it's better that we part ways on this project."
So, of course, I could not do an actors doing music list without at least mentioning Randy Quaid with Starwackers.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not on my top list, but
this is less a song and more like a call for revolution.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
This is Randy Quaid, Starwackers, complaining about the paparazzi and the media. But I found that Rick Moran has made a country album, and I was like, I'm going to see what this sounds like. And I was like, it's not so bad. It's just, it's comforting like Rick Moranis is as an actor.
City down below us, bridges strung like pearls, the glistening of your eyes. As another year unfurls,
he's like a less damaged, like a Canadian Johnny Cash almost.
But it's the champagne talking.
Johnny, pay me when you can.
Another.
I hugged a man in Reno just to see him smile.
It is like it's very Canadian in that way of like vocals are very present.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And
wait, am I too late? The man in flannel? Okay. Sorry.
Valentine.
The man comes around. Hey?
Easter.
Yeah, that's it. It's the Champagne Talk, and that was by Rick Moranis from his album The Agoraphobic Cowboy.
When is that from? Is that something
2006?
So that was a project he took on during his retirement.
Yeah, he's been retired a long time, man.
Yeah.
So Cash, what's your last one?
My last one, I hope you got it updated, but this was actors that literally took the thing they were into and wandered into it enough to become a thing, which is the Blues Brothers.
I did not get your
okay,
update.
Yeah,
I put the songs onto a list to keep everything.
Yeah,
because so Cash, like his Cash gave me the Commitments, which is giving me fucking like it's like a song from Citizen Dick or fucking Crucial Taunt or
Gem and the Holograms. Josie and the Pussycats.
I wish I had thought of Josie and the Pussycats.
So you did that with the Commitments, and then the other songs he gave me were Spinal Tap.
Yeah, well, Spinal Tap is a great band.
I love Spinal Tap. I was just rewatching it the other day. Also, another thing I watched for the first time, I realized another gap in my shit. Yeah. The Ruddles, All You Need Is Cash. Had never seen it.
I've never seen that either, but I've heard it's great.
I've been listening to Eric Idle's audiobook. So, if you want to hear great showbiz stories nonstop, Eric Idle's got you hooked up. So then you said you wanted to do
so I had Spinal Tap and the Folksmen, which are the same. It's literally the same group.
Recently at the Tribeca Film Festival did a reunion. The three Spinal Tap members doing acoustic songs with a special guest, Elvis Costello.
Oh,
I'm looking for video and I can't find it.
Oh, that's amazing! But yeah. the thing that really sprung into my mind when you were asking about it was. Last season on Better Call Saul, Michael McKean gets up and does a karaoke song. And I remember watching him being blown away and was like, I wish this guy was in a band. Like, I would watch this guy sing. And then I realized he is in a band.
Yeah.
Several. And the way that those guys have sort of embraced music as a storytelling thing about the way that, like, fucking Sex Farm is actually a pretty good song or, like... I'm gonna rock you tonight. Like that, it works in a that like they can use music in a way that I feel like
though
a little bit higher than your normal musical tribute acts. Or,
like Give Me Some Money is a great song.
Yes,
which was used in a commercial.
Oh, you really?
Was it?
Yeah,
really?
It was used for like some like check cashing play. I'm not really sure, but it was used in a commercial. And then also, but no one ever. It's a hellhole. Bitch School and Sex Farm are all like, because Sex Farm, they all have the like, it's like sick. No, Sex Farm isn't like Sex Farm woman. Okay, sorry. It's Hellhole and Bitch School are the same. It's like, it's better living in a hellhole. God, get me out of this. And then, Bitch Schools, it's like, gonna have to send you to Bitch School.
Well, those power.
But,
choruses of the 80s.
But at the same time, Hellhole is from Smell the Glove, you know, and then Bitch School is from Break Like the Wind.
Well,
which is such a great, great name.
I will say on this third one, I get how I did it wrong. Because I took actors that like took the music into the role with them.
Yeah.
And that is not what you asked for.
So this is like another album they made where they did versions of their songs. This is a funky version of Sex Farm.
This is
which totally works.
Which is like what I love about it with the Folksmen. I think got a little close where it was like I can't tell if you're parroting or
they just
like
loved
really
it.
Yeah. They just kind of loved it too much. But with the Spinal Tap stuff, it's like. They're making fun of it so much, and then they took it and they make this version of it where it's just like, oh, we're just gonna make fun of every version of music. Like it was a parody of this came out in like 2002 and it's a parody of like how bands will sell out. It was I really like that.
Exactly. All right, so Cash
got it wrong twice.
One for three. Neil,
I'm gonna first digress as you did before off list to say that Rick Springfield, Jesse's Girl, is probably the greatest example of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a very popular soap opera star.
But wasn't he a musician before that?
I mean, the whole time.
It was simultaneous?
Yeah. But it was like he was always playing music, and then when he was a huge
TV star.
Is when Jesse's Girl
and
came
all
out?
The all the wine moms were, you know, twiddling their crotches.
This was back when they were wine cooler moms.
Yeah.
So like, you know, they were like, "We'll put out anything with your name on it."
Yeah.
And then he wrote the Jesse's Girl song, and that's it's a certified banger.
That's it a great really banger. Is. But what did you choose?
My final one is a band called the Honey Brothers.
The Honey Brothers.
And that is a band with...
That's the guy who played Winnie the Pooh. And
This is Adrian Grenier.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Entourage. Yeah.
From Entourage.
Oh, this is an Entourage side project that I'm just hearing about? I am so angry.
Oh, yeah.
If they cover that song, it just gets...
This is another one a la Tim Allen where I was like, that guy's got to be in several bands.
Yeah.
And I was right. This is his side project.
But this
band.
One's weird because like it starts off with like a fucking sketch.
Yeah.
Sorry I'm late, doctor. Do we have enough time for a session?
Oh, wow.
Sit down. You seem nervous.
Yeah, well... So he's got a so quickly, doesn't it, home studio called The Rec Room. W-R-E-C-K.
No X.
Right. That he built so that him and his friends could all dream, stretch out,
the dream, I was happy.
Pursue their musical...
I don't know. I woke up with intuition. Beautiful.
I wish I could have shot the behind the scenes. Like
if I opened the shades, or if
documentary
I
on Adrian Grenier through the entire run of Entourage.
Like so let's like maybe, let's listen. Like this is
trip somewhere.
He's still talking to the therapist.
Start to feel happy for a little bit. And I don't know. Like you let me talk.
I'm gonna skip ahead.
I go to therapy. That's not what it's like. They got lots of roads out there and some.
Is he singing?
I believe so. I think he plays drums in this band.
It's not terrible.
You too can sound like a Weezer demo.
Yeah, that's not so bad. And so this isn't something you like. This is just something that you thought of.
No. Well, I appreciate the... it seems like we all took different tacks. Jonah took the one that was intended. I took the one that I took. And Neil fantasized about what actors would have the worst bands and found them.
Yeah, so those are ours. When we get back after this break, we are going to listen to yours, which is we asked the people on Twitter, many of whom probably don't even listen to this show.
Yep.
Podcast Swindle continues on.
What the fuck was that?
The Great Podcast Swindle continues on.
It sure
the
does.
The Great
Neil.
Podcast Swindle
it sure does,
is a great
iPad.
Name.
But this is, we're going to get back and listen to the bands you think that actors. A lot. And some people got it wrong, just like Cash did. This is a song from a band out of Sheffield, All Girls Arson Club, from their EP Dark Fruits. This is the song Cuffs.
Thank you. 私ひたすらとせっせ。あなたスタコラとさっさ。本番はシルブブレ。おはようさん。シルブブレではさようなら。シルブブレ芝居だ。シルブブレ。
Okay, that was a two for Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this. But that was Otoboke Beaver, a great fucking Japanese punk band that I just recently found, and I really, really dig them. All right, cool. So now it's time to go to look at some of the stuff that people, you know.
We put this out before the show. We asked people for their... I don't think we asked for a qualifying. We didn't ask for best. We just asked for...
No, we just said, like, bands that do this stuff. And so, of course, a ton of people that follow me were like, William Shatner. Yes, we all know William Shatner does Rocket Man, blah, blah, blah. But did we know Leonard Nimoy did a song about Bilbo Baggins?
Well... I got ear.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire.
Did he record this in his car?
Might just while driving?
Recording.
He lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him, Bill.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. You know, like a lot of people, a lot of actors do, like the Bacon Brothers, you know, that's
well, the Shatner, I remember, Shatner did an album with Ben Folds at one point.
Yes, and he did Common People.
Common People, the Joe Jackson song, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, of course, there's Bruno, Bruce Willis, The Return of Bruno.
Yes, he never came, but he did return.
Yeah, and here's his cover of Under the Boardwalk. Just check out the fucking lead in here.
Hey, Bruno.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hanging out down here with us under the boardwalk.
Yeah, man, I got my head out.
Let's throw down. When the
sun... What the fuck?
I feel like Samuel L. Jackson should have confronted him for that in Die Hard 3.
Bruno, you hanging out here with the tethered?
Underneath the boardwalk?
Yeah. That's Bruce Willis.
You think?
God. And I'm not sure if you guys knew this.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Pesci.
Yes, he did an album.
Started off as a singer.
Started off? Really? No,
yes,
I did not know that.
This is from the late 60s. Little Joe sure can sing. Little Joe sure can sing. Not Little Joe the rapper. Little Joe Pesci sure can sing. And he did covers, like pop songs.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the way you did it back then. It was more of the music industry before the rock and roll took over.
Exactly. And here you go with his Beatles cover, Fool on the Hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Day after day.
Doobie doobie doo.
Alone on a hill. The man with the foolish grin is keeping perfect.
This is Joe Pesci.
He sounds like he's having fun though.
But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool.
They think he's funny. They fucking funny how? Like a fucking joke. Like a blue meanie. Like a fucking octopus in a garden.
God damn it. Oh.
That's the fucking Goodfellas is on cable again, like the Showtime rotation. God damn it, that movie's funny.
Of course, it's we'd be remiss not to bring up, of course.
Almost like Comico. Is this Rappin' Rodney?
No. Oh. That's a novelty album. A lot of people are giving us novelty, and I'm not into it.
No.
You don't know this one yet?
Oh, it's Eddie Murphy.
This is Eddie Murphy, Party All the Time.
Party All the Time. God, do you have that old version of I'm a Robot?
Oh, you know what? Neil maybe has it on a hard drive somewhere.
I should dig that out. I found it when I was building my new website, neildit.com.
There's years ago, we all collectively, in some way, made a pilot starring Jonah. It was a great idea, record store idea, but the I'm a Robot, which is the future flung version of Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to it another time. We'll reminisce some more.
I can't.
I'm not sure if you guys knew this.
Tell a story.
Richard Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Very successful.
Wait a minute,
actor.
Richard Harris?
Yeah. Richard Harris, actor,
Someone
was the one who did
Cake Out in the Rain.
This is
like harpsichord.
MacArthur Park, Frightening in the Dark.
Really?
Some might know it as the prequel to Jurassic Park, Frightening in the Dark. But yeah, he did that.
That was
he
him
was
on
an
piano?
He was like nominated for something in the 60s, I believe. And that was something.
Was that the defining version of that song?
Yeah.
Spring was never waiting for us, girl.
Well, but that's... See, that's one of the things that's...
I remember a lady singing that song.
Crazy. Well,
I don't.
Or maybe I just thought he.
He didn't even write it. He just sang it. But you know, something he did. David Duchovny. Here's the thing I realized about a lot of like '90s actors, mostly country-ish stuff.
Yeah, like at the core.
Done some bad life.
Yeah, but the.
Am I spooky to you?
I feel like he's always kind of playing a cowboy. And he just
Do you
want
to californicate?
Brian Posehn.
I can't make you feel. Yeah, it's David Duchovny.
No. I'm sorry. I cut Brian Posehn's reel and I cut his scene from Californication into it.
No. You remember the red-haired kid from Salute Your Shorts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Emily Gordon submitted Bad for Good. This was his band.
Ooh. Is this something Emily knew from her period as Dark Emily?
I remember just being like, well, that's the fucking guy from fucking Salute Your Shorts. It's Butnick.
Bobby Butnick.
Wow.
And they were
kids. He believed
kids.
In this. Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah. It's not so bad. It's just it's of its time. It's like, you know, kids... Grungy kids doing Guns N' Roses. But, you know.
Who's this?
Let's just say he's a martial arts master that is now...
Steven Seagal.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, this is Steven Seagal.
This is not what I would expected from... I don't know what I would expect from Steven Seagal.
Maybe?
I did not expect John Mayer from Steven Seagal, though.
Yeah, there's no difference to me between John Mayer and this.
John Mayer can hang out at a Dead concert. I think Steven Seagal would try to arrest people.
Speaking of Butnick and Bad for Good, I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but Ed Furlong?
Edward Furlong?
Edward Furlong?
Jesus. The Magnetic Zeros?
No. Edward Furlong from
Edward Furlong
on the two of the best sequels out there. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and Pet Sematary 2.
Oh, that's true.
He had a fucking album.
What was
a whole solo album.
Was it a sequel to a Beatles album?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to say 1988.
No.
It's got to be like...
90. I guess he wouldn't be old enough in 88.
Yeah. It'd be like 93.
It's got to be somewhere like...
But it's like all he's listening to is Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy that he sounds exactly like you think he would?
Yeah.
He's clearly still a kid here.
Oh, hold on. He's going to ask about Barky.
I gave him a thumbs up. He went into the lava. Kiefer Sutherland, another twangy entry.
Yeah. I've told you guys my Kiefer Sutherland story, right?
Hold on.
It's a good one.
What story?
Kiefer Sutherland? Oh, that's not fair. You can't Chariot to fire me. That's not... I need to get there.
I can do whatever I want.
Well, speaking of Avengers Endgame, Scarlett Johansson and Pete Yorn.
Well, didn't they? They did a Tom Waits cover album, right?
Yeah, or they had a bunch of Tom Waits covers on an album or something like that. But this, and then like a few years ago, they did like a pop album.
Really?
It's not that bad. I like her. I mean, her speaking voice is so nice anyway.
Yeah, her speaking voice has that sort of gravelly thing to it anyways.
Oh, that vocal fry.
Yeah.
See,
that's Pete Yorn and Scarlett Johansson.
One of the things that that is interesting about the actor stuff is like it's such a performing art that actors are sort of almost expected to tackle anyway. Like the Broadway people are supposed to have voices, and that you're supposed to aspire that if you're an actor.
Yeah.
The rock and roll track, I don't quite get. Like, just go sing show tunes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Actually, I had a thought. This was my affianced had a birthday party a couple of weeks ago. You guys were nice enough to attend, and we were given a Bette Midler album. Is Bette Midler an actor who became a rock and roll star, or
no,
is
she's a cabaret act.
She was a cabaret act that also went into acting.
Yes. Yeah. Barbara Streisand is in that world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm watching Fosse Verdon right now, which is a great show.
I've heard it's really good.
It's really good. It's like, it's good showbiz. Like if you like showbiz shows.
Yeah.
But not the showbiz show with David Spade, but showbiz shows.
Sean O'Connor is not writing on Fosse Verdon.
This is Jeff Daniels doing another twangy.
You know who I was tempted to put on was not Jeff Daniels, but Lebowski.
Oh yeah,
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges had that that movie where he was a singer songwriter, and he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. I mean, his voice is just so fucking perfect for that.
Yeah. Rain and the devil don't
care in a photo finish you want it by right when you do something that I couldn't think is any dumber, you go ahead and totally redeem yourself. Talking about pooping in a toilet. That was a great SNL sketch where it's like he's like on the actor, like an actor's studio style show, and then like he just, they just keep on playing the clip from Dumb and Dumber where he's taking a shit.
That guy works with Aaron Sorkin for 25 episodes, but nobody's going to remember anything but his toilet.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's crazy is that he is an amazing dramatic actor who just got nominated for a Tony for his work in the Broadway presentation of To Kill a Mockingbird. Oh.
He did To Kill a Mockingbird. Cranston did Network.
Yeah, but the fact that it's like that he's good at that,
yeah,
and he's like so fucking funny in Dumb and Dumber.
Or
going against like the biggest comedy star of that era,
yeah,
toe to toe, can't tell who's funnier.
He reminds me of the old like.
That's how I feel, fucking right now.
Reminds me of Jack Lemmon. Jack Lemmon could do like the both sides of it.
Very very true.
I just wave my arm.
Yeah.
Ooh. Who is this?
I don't remember.
Cheech and Chong?
Hold on, I'm gonna try and figure out who this fucking is.
This is like solid, like late 70s, I'm gonna say. Early 80s with that
like
reverb.
Jake Isles or something.
Yeah.
This is Tim Curry. Oh,
really?
Fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's
from an album from the 70s. It's Tim Curry.
Wow. When was Rocky? Rocky Horror. That was 80?
No, that was 76, I think, right? Yeah.
Sort of that sort of vaudeville crossover, not vaudeville, but like the crossover of like, I can do this, so I'm going to do this in music.
Yeah. Here's Crispin Glover. Just as weird as you'd expect. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the graveyard.
I was walking on the ground. I didn't make a sound. Then I turned around and I saw a clown. Had a frown. Stood on a mound. Started barking like a hound.
That's not.
Yeah. And then, of course, David Lynch, not to be outdone, also has like a clown.
He was really an actor.
But he's acted in stuff.
Has acted.
That's a good point. But he's an artist.
The category was not artists who became musicians.
Yeah, whoever sent this in should be ashamed.
This sounds like Sigur Rós demos. Well, is this Sigur Rós before the reverb is put on?
This is no. This is. I don't think anybody told David Lynch he couldn't not record
Heads up.
An album.
That's a 7-minute and 6-second song we were just hearing the beginning
Christ.
Of there. There's a ton that we haven't mentioned. We know. You know, I was going to play Billy Bob Thornton stuff, and I was going to play clips from that interview where he's upset, and I rewatched it, and it's still uncomfortable. Knowing it going in, you're just like, you don't like him. You don't like the situation. It's no fun.
He was a big Warren Zevon guy. I remember that.
All, yeah. And so he's like, I don't know. It's so fucking, he's so real. He's real, real, real shitty. But I just want to say that is it for the show. This is Metallica playing the Star Spangled Banner at the opening game for the Giants.
Yep. Giants versus
James
Yankees.
Hetfield and Kirk.
They know how to.
Is James playing bar chords?
Yes. Yeah. What's the only finger he has left?
That's explosion humor.
Yeah, so that is it for this episode of Jonah Radio with Cash featuring Neil. All right, forget it, Neil. Don't worry about it. Neil looks at his iPad like it's the first time he's seen it every single time he looks down.
Well, no, I just put GGRRTY and I can't ever.
You Gritty? Did it, though.
I know. That's welcome. The weird part.
Neil Mahoney, welcome to your life.
I'm going to leave
that. Well, we really appreciate you guys sticking with the podcast. We are soon announcing our new network. It's not our network. But it is some good old friends of ours, and we're really excited to be a part of that. If you guys haven't noticed, we've like been trying. We're finally trying, and we said that before.
7 years in,
we finally like it's. We've said we've been trying before, but now it feels like we're really trying.
Yeah,
like we think about the podcast before we get here.
Yeah.
So
for almost 15 minutes this morning, I thought about the podcast.
Think about it collectively over the past week, probably up to 25 minutes.
Probably.
Yeah.
But like,
you're driving a lot more.
We really, you know, we're still playing bands that we think should be heard and need the exposure. We're still doing, you know, that's our main goal.
It's our mission statement.
Our mission statement. And but
primary objective.
But please, like, you know, if you have friends, tell them about the podcast. It's I think it's more fun and more interesting than it ever has been before.
Yeah.
We loved having you here. We're gonna write that letter of recommendation so you get into college and that you get a good job and you can support your parents. Damn it.
Here's the thing, Neil. I want more listeners than Ether John, Bill Tackett, Dan Byerly, Dana Lechtenberg.
And that weird girl that you propositioned.
I didn't proposition anyone.
This last song.
What are you talking about?
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. That was me.
This last song.
She said yes, though, so we're getting married.
No.
Gross. This last song. Could be problematic to some because of events that happened with a member of the band, but this is a song that was a song that I sang and my wife sang to our dog all the time, and we said goodbye to her the other day, and the song is called Ruby by Cheap Girls. Thank you so much for listening to Jonah Radio. Think you're